This week we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We'll be in Galatians 5. Last week, the last day of the year, we dealt with sin and the need to identify it and to confess it and then repent. Repent meaning turn away from it, get out of it, do something different. And of course we want to repent and turn towards God. I think it's a fair statement to say that Amazing Grace Community Church, we focus more on grace and positive. Where are we going to, what direction should we be heading? But as I said last week, you can't have grace without the law. You can't have forgiveness without confession. So they do go hand in hand. And I guess I've always believed that God, through His Holy Spirit, convicts us of sin. He makes us aware of what is sin for the believer. And some people are so brave to pray and ask God to search them. Search my heart and show me. It's great prayer, but watch out what you're going to hear. But the whole purpose in life in Christ while we're here on earth, before we, pass on and go to be with Him, He has an objective for us. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be filled with joy. And part and parcel to becoming a Christian is we're going from living a certain way in the deeds of the flesh and moving towards seeing fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to see it evident in our lives. So, when we become born again, it's not like the end of the journey. That's really the beginning. We need to see some things shed away from us, and we need to be taking on new characteristics. So Paul teaches us about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit, which is an illustration or a metaphor for what should be evident in us as Christians, this fruit consists of certain attributes, certain qualities, certain graces. And they are joy, peace. Well, let's start with the right first one. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, mercy, self-control, faithfulness, goodness. Those make up the fruit of the Spirit. That is the evidence. And so our objective as Christians to grow spiritually ought to be seeing that kind of fruit in our lives. That those attributes will be seen in our lives. They are things that start and are changed in our inner man, and then come forth in our outer man, if you will. They come forth and people see them in us. So, let's this week pick some fruit and see, what they're about. And see how they might look in our lives. See what the target is that we should be aiming for. We make choices. Everybody, saved or not saved, is pretty familiar with this concept of free will. And basically, we're able to make choices. God allows us to make choices. Obviously, He teaches us and shows us, well, this would be the best choice for you. Choose this one. And if we are to see the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives, we need to make some choices. It is born by some intentional choices. We have to intentionally grow. You don't go to sleep at night and leave your Bible on the nightstand and that's how you learn the Bible. You actually have to open it and read it. I'm not being facetious there. We do need to get in the habit of opening it up and reading it. We have to intentionally grow.
Just carrying it?
Yeah, no. You know, I was just, this week there was a big news about, you know, the phone, if it's by your ear, if you sleep by it in your bed, how it causes radiation and all that. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but my Bible's on my phone. So.
Oh. Yeah, quite a challenge every day, figuring out what to do.
It's very challenging. Mine's the same place.
I was wondering, does your Kindle do the same thing? I don't know.
But it's intentional growth. In other words, we have to pursue God. We have to pursue His knowledge. Intentional. Along the way, one of God's favorite ways to grow us spiritually is trials and tribulations. If we don't go through trials and tribulations, we can't really grow spiritually. We will never learn patience and goodness and peacefulness. We'll never learn these things if we haven't been severely challenged in it. Maybe other people displaying the opposite to us, or maybe experiencing the failure in ourselves to demonstrate those. Trials and tribulations may come for the very purpose, the singular purpose from God to teach us that particular thing, that particular quality. And this is why James says, count it all joy when trials or tribulations are coming. And, you know, most people, when they ask me how I'm doing, it's usually blessed. But there are a few times during the year where my answer is, I'm counting it all joy. And that's my subtle way of saying, oh, man, trials and tribulations here. But my right attitude needs to be, count it all joy. We will be tested and tried. Temptation will come our way. We'll have behaviors in the past that we have not shed yet. And they will tempt us. And we'll be tested. And we'll be tried. And how do we respond? You know, so often we as Christians, we think that the best way to show non-Christians to give them the desire to have what we have Jesus, is let's have the perfect life. You know, no problems, everything's going great, and if we do have any problems, they don't get to see it. But God's way is such that we will be tested and tried. Some of that, maybe a lot of it, is something that nobody else sees. It's all within your spirit, your mind, your heart, your soul, those testings. And, you know, whether we come out of them approved is totally by God, His measurement, not other people. Fruit of the Spirit is born by stepping out in faith. There are things that we pray about and we ask God about, and He wants us to do. He equips us to do them, but we still have to do them. We still have to make that step. And if we're going to have fruit, spiritual fruit, as part of our lives, we have to make that step. And when we do make that step, there's no guarantee that everything is going to go peachy keen. Again, that may be a step into some trials and tribulations, things that God uses to refine us, to challenge us, to grow us. And in the midst of those, do we start complaining to God? Do we start, you know, accusing Him of being a bad God, of not really loving us, not hearing us? Or do we look within ourselves and say, oh, okay, God, I see maybe I need to do this or switch that. Mm-hmm. Or you are testing me to strengthen me. That you are a good God and you have good plans for me. You know, what's our attitude towards him? Fruit of the Spirit is not born by accident. We don't just trip and stumble into having fruit of the Spirit. So we can't assume just because I've been born again, I come to church, I have the fruit of the Spirit. You know, this is part of that sanctification process that God is doing in us. He wants to do in us. Fruit of the Spirit is also not for the unwilling. If you don't have a desire to have fruit, spiritual fruit born, you're not going to end up with it. You know, God is not going to force it on us. He can't defy himself and put fruit of the Spirit all over us because we've said no. We weren't really willing. If we're going to have fruit of the Spirit, we're going to have some nicks and bruises along the way. And that's the only way that you're going to have those. It's not a pain-free journey. So this morning, I want to look through some of the various parts of the fruit of the Spirit. I want to inspire you to, in your mind, or you can do it verbally, is to say that you choose, you know, that particular fruit. You choose to want to have that. I choose love. Love is the greatest quality, and it's the one that most clearly reflects the character of God. We read in the Bible, God is love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God is love. If we're going to reflect him, we need to see that fruit as part of our life. So we need to choose it. Choose love. I say choose it because we will always be challenged to love someone that is not very lovable. See, every one of these fruits, if you will, has an opposite. So what's the opposite of love? Hate. So there's this spectrum. You know, maybe hate comes a little easier in us and a little more naturally. So here again this morning, I'm trying to reorient our thinking to I choose love.
Carnal culture this week, didn't you?
Boy, are you in trouble.
I'm surprised you're here.
Me too.
That's all right, Joel. We know she's right.
So if we are bitter or dissentious with people that we struggle with loving, we haven't really chosen love. It starts with making that choice and then asking God, how do I demonstrate this to someone? God, you know how I really feel about this person. I'm making this choice. And we need to choose to want to be loving all the time because other people aren't coming to our lives. It needs to be something that is evident in us. All of these fruits need to be evident in us. Joy. I choose joy. Joy reflects rejoicing in God's salvation, in his blessings, and in his will and purpose in our life. So it's just poetic, Donna, that you would choose that for your scripture this year. Yeah. Rejoice in all things. Have joy in all things. That's an intentional choice. And when we intentionally choose it, sure enough, we're going to be tested on it. I choose peace.
You got to remember that all things.
Peace is the product of God having reconciled sinners to himself. It's not really absence of conflict. We can have peace in the midst of conflict and turmoil all around us. And in fact, I would say that's more likely the scenario that we will experience. But peace is between us and God, knowing, somebody said it earlier, that no matter what happens, I'm going to trust in God. Yeah, I think it was Jeremy. Just going to trust in God. Changes are going to happen. They may not be changes that we ask for, that we're comfortable with. They might push us out of shape, but we choose peace. We choose patience. Patience shows, this is fascinating, patience shows that the Christian is living under God's timing. We're familiar with that one, right? God's timing is always on time, right? It's always the right time. But is that the first thing that we automatically think of? No.
My time.
Yeah.
I never
pray
for patience because I don't have the opportunity.
But, you know, no matter what, God wants us, if we're going to be demonstrating it through the Spirit.
You're married to the opportunity.
Oh my God.
I think in the Hebrew, Joel means look out, trouble. So kindness. I choose kindness. Kindness is showing goodness, generosity, and sympathy toward others. And in this, the scripture also says that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So as Christians, desiring to demonstrate through the Spirit, kindness. Try to be kind in all things.
Not just to people it's easy to be kind to.
Right.
Yeah. You guys know I had to say something, right?
Of course.
I was checking my notes and I was drawn to James 1, 17 through 20. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. With whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
We've done goodness. Next one.
You were on kindness. You didn't do goodness.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you. Goodness. I choose goodness. Goodness means working for the benefit of others. Working for the benefit of others. So, again, that's an intentional choice. And it's fair to say there's a lot of times that it's not something you want to do. But that's where this testing comes into play. Can you, you know, get rid of your not want to and I'll show goodness. You know, if we choose it, if we attempt it, God can enable us to actually pull it off. And it may not happen real well the first time, but he'll give you other opportunities, so don't worry. Okay, now we're ready. I choose faithfulness. That's consistently doing what one says they will do. Let your yes be yes. and your no be no. Faithfulness. This is one way that is so evident to me in my observation whether somebody is being led by the Spirit. Faithfulness. Do they show up when they say they're going to? Do they do what they say they're going to do? Are they reliable? Might be another word that you can use. Faithfulness. In our lives, faithfulness cannot be born out of absence of conflict, because then it's easy. But faithfulness has to be born out of a serious choice, attempt, effort,
commitment.
Spiritual was showing up to work the other day.
I choose gentleness. Gentleness is an attribute that Jesus showed. It enables us to find rest in Him and to encourage and strengthen others. Gentleness. Scripture says, if you who are spiritual, if you're going to admonish or exhort someone, do it in gentleness. This is a real challenge for the church. How do we deal with problems? You know, what should be our demeanor? Is it through gentleness, or is it through, anger or judgment, inappropriateness? I don't know if that's a word, but make sure. Clean. Self-control. Here's a great one. I choose self-control. We had a great discussion in School of Ministry over self-control. But self-control basically allows us to resist the power of the flesh. To resist the power of the flesh. Self-control, as a fruit of the Spirit, can only happen one way, and that is you have to have the Spirit of God residing in you. If you don't, self-control is just self-effort, and eventually it's going to fail. It's not going to be something that we can regularly hold up. For most people, it's not even something that naturally happens. So, self-control, we need God's Spirit to help us. And this is, I think, an area where I guess I could say as American Christians really need to look at in our own lives, examine our lives. Am I demonstrating self-control?
In a way, self-control governs everything else. I mean, you can do whatever you want, the only God you worship is yourself.
I have some others in here that aren't mentioned directly in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and that is, I choose honesty. I choose honesty. I would if you can have the attitude that I'd rather go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one, that's an approach to honesty. If you can endeavor to always be a truth teller, that is a challenge. Because the reason we don't tell the truth all the time is we either don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, or we don't want to expose something within ourselves that might cause problems for ourselves. But if we will endeavor to be a truth teller in all situations, you will see how that ties into having the fruit of the Spirit. People will recognize that quality in you. Even if, if you've wronged someone and they accuse you of, cheating them or whatever, instead of trying to justify yourself or deny it, if you just answer truthfully right away, you would be amazed at how much trouble it stops and solves. And choose
a soft word turns away strife.
I choose encouragement. You know, I will choose to encourage others, to build them up. And this comes under that heading of putting other people's needs ahead of yours. I choose encouragement. So often I think what we do is we get hung up in our own difficulties, our own life, our own trials and tribulations, and we just kind of naturally beat down others. So, make it an intention to encourage others. I remember that scripture we were reading last week. His name was Son of Encouragement. What a great name, great identity.
Well, and that's the first communication that we had online as we were just getting ready to meet, because she sent me an email of encouragement. I thought that was pretty cool. That's been her labor all throughout.
I think the opposite of encouragement is complaining. That drags everybody down.
Yeah. Complain, grumble, murmur.
It's hard not to.
Oh, nobody said this would be easy.
Sure.
So you wanted an easy sermon.
Easy button. Where's your easy button, Pastor?
Yeah, can you send us your calendar so we'll come to the good days?
And now the next one that all of you need is I choose grace.
They're all so tied together. They all just interweave with each other.
They do.
I mean, you can be honest, but if you're encouraging, you're not going to be
truly honest.
No. I mean, just because it's true, you don't have to say it. I mean, it would be better to encourage them to go above something you think is, you would be honest in saying about them.
Well, I also think it dictates that we examine ourselves first before we speak. That's what Jesus meant when he says, judge not lest you be judged in the same manner. Examine yourself, confess maybe even the same sin before you try to encounter it.
Because I've got great self-control. I never asked Carla if she would marry me again, because she would lose honesty.
But that line that Jesus said, "Forgive others their trespasses, even
so we do need to realize that. We need to endeavor to be humble, to be overlooked, to have something that we give up that we really want. Grace is so full. And really, grace is this opportunity that we say yes to God for Him to work in and through us on the behalf of others. Not that we have this fruit of the Spirit where we say, look at me, I got it all handled, I got it all figured out, it's not a problem in the world, I'm perfect.
You have the most amazing capacity to wallow in grace.
That was a compliment. Thank you.
The fruits of the Spirit are so incredibly attractive. Also, I think it really is what draws those who don't know the Lord. When they see those fruits of the Spirit in believers, it's incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
I think they work like tithing. You know, the more you give all the fruits away, the more you receive them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we talked about making choices. I've attempted to encourage you and inspire you to make those choices, but recognize that choices dictate outcomes. Choices dictate outcome. Scripture that came up this week in our Bible school was Proverbs 25:28. It says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. The picture there is, you know, King David's talking about this. Jerusalem is his city, and they have, you know, walls around it. And in that day and time, when opposing nations would come to attack, you know, they would have to break down the wall or somehow get over it. So the proverb is saying that if you have no self-control, you're like a city that just has a, the walls are broken down so the enemy can just walk right in. And that's what he will do. So if you're in Galatians 5 still, look at verse 17. For the flesh set its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. So there's this battle going on. The meaning here is you can't flourish in one, you can't flourish with having them both in you. You know, you're either doing the deeds of the flesh or you're working on being led by the Spirit. You can't say, well, I'm going to be led by the Spirit for this hour, and next hour I'm going for deeds of the flesh. You know, you're going to just be torn up. So make that choice to pursue being led by the Spirit. We read the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, but let's back up just a little bit, because he's trying to contrast the fruit of the Spirit, which we should be shooting for, that's his objective for us, with where we our starting point. Our starting point that we all started at, everyone, verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. In other words, there's more that could be on the list, but he's just saying, you get the picture. And things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this point that he's trying to make is, you've got these two choices. You can do the deeds of the flesh or seek the fruit of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. You can't do both. They're in opposition to each other. So, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you need to practice the things of this, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can never sin as a Christian.
Not till you're dead.
Yeah. But the point is, Paul's saying here, and John says it later, you know, do you practice those things? In other words, if somebody were to look at your life and identify you with a couple terms, would they use the terms out of verses 19 through 21, or would they use the terms out of 22 and 23? Pretty simple analysis to examine yourself with. So, final scripture. As we go through this process of choosing the fruit of the Spirit, intentionally choosing it, there's going to have to be some pruning. So if you turn with me to John 15. John 15, 1 through 11. This is a lesson that Jesus was teaching. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. So you see how that fits what I was talking about earlier? You know, to have fruit of the Spirit in your life, you have to be tested and tried, go through trials and tribulations. You have to be pruned a little bit. You know, it's going to hurt a little bit here and there. But there's purpose in it. Three, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So you see, if we're going to exhibit fruit of the Spirit, we need to have this abiding relationship with Jesus. Us in him, him in us.
I call that our vertical relationship.
Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's when we get to this great point of humility, when we are able to say that apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So, see, Jesus wants us to be bearing fruit. This is how we demonstrate that we are following him. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 11, these things I have spoken to you These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So, do we choose to abide in him and him in us? Do we choose to obey his commandments, which are not too burdensome? The sad part is, Christians, many of us might actually say, as we look at our lives, that we really don't seem to feel or exhibit these flowing rivers, this living water, the power that he promises us, the love that he promises us. You know, we look at our lives, we say, I'm not feeling it. But that's what he wants for us. That's what he's given us. That's what he's promised us. But we have to make the choices that dictate the right outcome. And that choice is through the Spirit.
Build it and they will come.
Grow it and they will pick it.
Start exhibiting and doing the fruit of the Spirit and it will come back. You won't have to choose. It will just be eventual.
Got to get to that point.
Yeah. Donna always used to tell me, it's so good that I never forgot it. She'd say, somebody that is difficult, God, she would pray, Father, show me the love you have for this person. Show me your love for others that my eyes can be healed. When you realize that God sees everything, but he looks on the heart instead of looking on the outward appearance, it makes all the difference. But this abiding in the vine is so important to walking in the Spirit, isn't it? Without prayer, can't abide in him and him in us. Right?
We can't ignore God.
We can think, I'm going to try really hard to have self-control. And I'm just going to put my mouth, I'm not going to say anything. No. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Through prayer. He gives it to us. When I don't have the self-control I need, God, forgive me. There I go again. Working something out. Give me that self-control I need, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I need you. Give me that the power of the Holy Spirit in this area, in the love area, in this area. Patience. I don't need any more patience, thank you. I'm tired of getting squashed.
Yeah. And we have to willingly choose and then ask God to give us the ability with the Spirit. There's no way that we can love others like Jesus if we don't have this supernatural love in us. There's
right.
No way.
Yeah.
And I was going through that, and I used to say, damn, and I just said, no, don't do that. Pray for them, bless them. Instead of saying something negative, say, well, I'll pray for them. And I'll pray for me. I'm the one that's doing the lip service over here and doing the thinking again. So it's in me, not your fault. So this is, Lord, pray for me so I don't say anything wrong about another person. And you can't say something that because I don't have the right to do that. You know? So instead of saying that, I just say, let it be blessed. Bless them. Give me my bad thoughts. And I've learned to do that. So I catch myself. I used to catch myself quite often. And I just catch myself once in a while. So I'm hoping it's going away. I'm being worked on.
You're under construction.
This morning, that slide where you showed just the scripture that without the walls, the enemy comes in. This last year, the Lord's been speaking in a lot of ways about Nehemiah, where, you know, Jerusalem's been ravaged, and it's still under enemy occupation, but the people of God are each rebuilding that section. Well, God showed me that He's also doing that with our walls. When we give Him our hearts, we don't have the walls in place. And the enemy drives his buses and sends people. And, you know, it's like we don't have all that protection and all that strength and all the fruits of the Spirit yet, even in many ways, until our walls are built. And it was kind of funny because as soon as those two sides came together, the Lord's shown me this picture of this really, you know, lovely city with high walls and this beautiful vineyard in the middle of it. And I'm like, okay, so now He's combining two things He's been talking to me about into a picture. But the truth is, too, we're not strong enough always to go out to war until our walls are built. So that's why He's cleaning us up, getting rid of all those places in the wall where certain spirits still have an open place because we've kept that door open. There are doors in our walls. And if we don't see it and ask Holy Spirit to, you know, repent, close it, seal it with the blood of Jesus, then guess what? You know, these demons still have rights because we think we can keep sinning and they're not going to sneak in that particular sin door. It's almost like all those little doors are on the bottom. And this morning, early, the Lord must have been dealing with that because I found myself saying, Lord, my flesh is still, it is still, just like Hector said, I'm so sick of it. Lord, I'm sick of the ways that it tries to open doors again. And I remember putting my hand on my abdomen and asking for more rivers of life. But then I found myself starting to say, Lord, take away the appetites. Take away the rest of them. All these ways where I just get weak. And I'm putting it on 20 pounds of extra fat when I'm supposed to be eating for cancer. And it was just like, yeah, all of it. You can have all of it, Lord. Because I can't, you know, it was like, just a reawakening. I do want to go deeper with you, Lord. And yes, I will give you more, you know, of what you want to take away from me to help me. And I think He just showed me television. Just now, when you give Him permission, He does, you know, He's not too hard on us. It's like he hammers us with all of it. But he chooses that next thing that will really help us.
Well, it's kind of why the message last week was important. Recognize our sin, confess them, and then we begin to move in the Spirit. So there's a process. He's laid it out for us. He's shown us what to do.
Well, I mean, King, it's not only Nehemiah, there's King Asa, and then there's King Hezekiah. The walls were broken down, and they rebuilt them, and they did that in the peaceful times. They did that in the quiet times. And that's the only time that we can prepare ourselves and build our defenses to withstand, you know, the evil that comes in. You know, what are the walls? We're building the walls of community and friendship and help and assistance and support with our church. We're building the walls of doctrine and understanding what God's got in Scripture. So we can go there through the hard times. I mean, one little wall hung together for me this past week was just understanding. I want God's blessing. I don't want to have God to withdraw from me. And so,
well,
that wall was effective.
So let's gather around and pray.